Who watched us come Strictly Come Dancing? Anybody watched Strictly Come Dancing? Only Tom. 2018 is going to be amazing, darling. Absolutely amazing. 2018 is going to be awesome. It's going to be fantastic. 2018 is going to be a year when you're going to be completely blessed by God. And the reason I know that is because Emmanuel, God with us. What is that? Does anybody want to play Flappy Golf too? That is not mine. I don't even know how to turn it off. Right. Exit. That's Grace. She's done that on purpose. She's serious. Honestly. Right. From this point on, 2018 is going to be amazing. It's fantastic. I do need my phone back though. Yeah. Oh, can you turn it back on again? 2018 is going to be amazing. It's going to be fantastic. Going to really love 2018. In a year when everyone is predicting nuclear war, in a year when everyone is predicting, I've given up reading the newspaper. It is depressing, isn't it? Do not read the newspaper. Yeah, just read the Bible. Okay, just do that. Because in a year when everybody's predicting nuclear war, I predict the best year you've ever had. The best year you've ever had in God. Yeah. And I don't know what that would look like for you in your family, in your finances, in your home life, in your personal walk with God. What's happening in here and in here and around you. But I prophesy a brilliant year for you, 2018. I don't know what 2017 was like. Maybe that was amazing. Maybe it wasn't. But 2018 is going to be amazing, darling. Psalm 65, verse 11, this is one of the reasons I know that. Because God says he will crown the year with bounty and our carts will overflow with abundance. That's the nature of God. And we are going to be calling the church, and we are calling the church as a leadership team to 21 days of prayer and fasting. Adrian mentioned this before Christmas. And we've produced some booklets. Thanks very much, Chris and Dave, for doing this. Which are going to help you in this. We'll be talking about it in a few moments' time. But we are calling you as a church and me to 21 days of prayer and fasting to really start this year off moving towards God, seeking God, getting closer towards God. I get inspired by the saints, including the saints in this church. If you're not inspired by the person sat next to you, you need to look harder. Because as I get to know people in the congregation of God's people, as I get to see what you go through and what other people that I know go through on a daily basis, and here you are worshiping God. It inspires me. When I see people who are sitting in this congregation and they've got their Bibles open and they're sharing and they're singing and on a daily basis they're praying, I get inspired by that. And you should do too. Yeah. Let's get inspired by one another. Yeah. Inspired by the way that we push through even our own struggles at times, our own difficulties that we overcome. I am in a church of overcomers. Yeah. And that's awesome. That's amazing. And I don't know everybody's details of everybody's life. I know some people more than others. But I can guarantee that you've had to overcome things to get here. As Adrienne was sharing before, I don't know if she's going to share that, but when she shared about her dad dying when she was 17, that has an impact. When she shared about her eating disorders, that there was a reason for that. And how she's overcome. I'm just inspired by my wife and the way that she lives her life on a daily basis. It's amazing. The disciples were inspired by Jesus. And I love it in Luke chapter 11, verse 1. They ask this question. They say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And the question is, why didn't they say, teach us how to walk on water? Because that would be me. Teach us how to walk. I can pray. That I can't do. Teach us how to walk on water. Teach us how to raise people from the dead. That would be a good one as well, wouldn't it? Teach me how to do that one. They didn't say that, did they? Teach me how to preach. Teach me how to be you. They said, teach us how to pray. The thing that impressed the disciples most about Jesus was his prayer life. There's a preacher and an author, I think he's in his 70s now, called Woodrow Kroll. Great name, that, isn't it? It's like somebody from The Incredibles. Woodrow Kroll. And he says this. He says, fervent prayer produces phenomenal results. Fervent prayer produces phenomenal results. The disciples knew that all the phenomenal things that they saw in Jesus, in his demeanor, in his character, in his wisdom, in his miracles, in his raising people from the dead, and his walking on the water, in his courage to stand up to those in the establishment when others wouldn't, all of these phenomenal things were the result of a fervent life of prayer. They knew the source and the foundation and the root and the power in the fervent prayers of Jesus. Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5, verse 7. And Hebrews is great. If you want to turn to Hebrews, because there's so much stuff in there. It's amazing. Hebrews 5, verse 7, it says this. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. I wonder if we've got examples of prayers answered. And the answer is yes, we have. Yeah. We have. If we went back over time in Ormskirk Christian Fellowship and we listed all the prayers, I mean, even just last year, the times we've met. Remember Elisha standing up here. We've been praying for Kenya. Lo and behold, God moves in Kenya. That's how powerful our prayers are, people, because that's how powerful our God is. But over the years, and just have a little think back right now, those times when God has answered prayer, doesn't matter how small or how big it may be, God has answered prayers in phenomenal ways. So what is it that disciples saw? Have you regained my mobile phone? Oh, it's there, look, thank you. Right, I'll come off Flappy Golf. It is quite good, Flappy Golf, but it's Adrian that does it, not Adrian. Is it? We don't think it's Adrian. They think it's God. So what is it the disciples saw? They saw Jesus praying. So I'm going to whiz through some of these verses. And it says this, Matthew 14. After he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. Mark 6:46. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Luke 6:12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. We used to do that, didn't we? We should do that again. Yeah. Let's do that again. A whole night in prayer to God. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I've been struggling. Have you been struggling since Christmas? Dear, I think it's the extra turkey I had. Oh, dear me. Trying to get out of bed when it's dark. I'm starting back at work next week, Cole. It's going to be dark. You've been back for 2 weeks, have you? Yeah, getting up in the dark is not easy. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. I love this one. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. But Jesus himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. I love that. Jesus would often slip away. Do you ever slip away? Do you ever slip away to the toilet when you get a little bit fed up with everybody and you don't really need the toilet? But there's a lock on that door. Nobody's getting to me. So I'm always doing that. It's just great. I remember Dave's, and I won't say it. I was going to talk about your mum then. Yeah. Dave's mum used to say that she, what did she used to say? She used to say, I come before the throne on the throne. I love that. Just lock yourself away. Or maybe you go off to the gym, or perhaps for you it's the golf course, or maybe it's the pub, or maybe it's the TV. But I want this year to slip away to Jesus. I want to slip away to my place of prayer as Jesus did, to get to that place where we can seek his face. There's other verses in Luke 9. I love this one. Luke 9, verse 18. It's quite a laugh, the Bible, isn't it? Luke 9, verse 18. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him. Once, when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him. It's kind of like gegging in a bit there, I think. There was just like, it's Jesus trying to have a bit of a privacy and he'd forgotten to lock the door in the bathroom. And there's the disciples again. But I think one that's talking about, I mean, there's all sorts of things that you could spend a whole sermon with that one. But, you know, even if you might say, I can't pray like Jesus, Mike, because I'll tell you what, I'm surrounded by people, by work, by business, by family. I've been there, haven't you? Well, it's all right for these full-time preachers who don't have a job. They can be holy. But me, I get up at half past 5 in the morning and I go off to me. And we end up in that pity party as an excuse. And there's Jesus surrounded by disciples all the time. And it says he was praying in private. See, right now, as you're switching off to me. You can be praying in private to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God is good. Sometimes everything else can shout louder and make bigger demands. We have to make our great big God bigger and greater in our lives by slipping away to him. So that's why we're calling for 21 days of seeking God, of praying and fasting and coming before him, because we as a church want to be committed this year to a life of abundant ministry, of pouring out of ministry towards those around us, but more than anything, to get closer to God. Wouldn't it be great if as a church we got closer to God? Yeah. If we as individuals got closer to God than we've ever been before. Imagine what could happen in your life and through your life. But even if nothing ever happened, imagine that, just being close to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But why fast? Now, we're not asking you to fast for 21 days, okay? We said within the 21 days, you can fast. I don't want to get here on January the 28th and this like emaciated church. I've done it, Mike. 21 days. Okay, so we're not asking 21 days of fasting, okay? But within that, and what we've put together is a booklet. Within that, there's some tips, some thoughts, some ideas. There is a journal here that you can use, and it'd be great if we could use that. So it goes through what fasting is, and using our times of fasting and our days of prayer to be able to really give us a focus on God himself. So there's a letter in there from me, there's a letter there from somebody I've never met, and there's a whole load of examples and ideas about fasting. Fasting magnifies our prayers. At this point, I was going to get a roaming mic, and I was going to go around, and I was going to ask people who have fasted. Just as a bit of a show, is there anybody here who has fasted, who spent time fasting? Okay, that's great. So it's quite a number of people. Great. And so if you need a little bit of help and support, there are people in this church who know what the discipline of fasting is all about. But for me, it's about magnifying my prayers. It's about recalibrating and reprioritizing my life. And on those days when I fast, I know something more of the presence of God. It isn't that God is more present with me. It's just I'm making myself a little bit more aware. I'm saying, Lord God, this is an act of worship. So, Lord God, you're more important than food. You're more important than my 12 o'clock Twix. You're more important than... And primarily, we're talking about stopping eating for a while. But it says in the booklet that for some people, we can't do that. But for me, it could be other things. Music. I love me CDs, don't I, Ellen? I love B.B. King. I love B.B. King. Bit of Miles Davis. Oh, do you know what? And some of you have switched off now because you think, I can't believe he listens to that rubbish. But for other people, it might be something else. You know, then what is it that you... Maybe it's Peaky Blinders. Maybe for 21 days, you don't watch Peaky Blinders. You shouldn't watch it anyway, really. But maybe for you, it's something else. But primarily, we're talking about food. So it brings a focus into our life. I mean, I know Dave's got some really good thoughts about fasting. So perhaps ask Dave, what do you think about fasting afterwards? Will you do that? Who's going to do that? Somebody put their hand up. I'm going to ask Dave. Karen's going to ask you afterwards. After a season of indulgence, it reprioritized. You know what? I have filled myself up on pastries and mince pies and roast potatoes, turkey, and all sorts of things, and it's done me no good whatsoever. Who feels fatter than they did a few weeks ago? A number of people do, but it doesn't matter. That's okay. That's all right. Yeah, we don't mind that for a season. But this isn't a diet plan, okay? The 21 days of prayer and fasting is not a diet plan. It's about coming closer to God. When we get our inside world right, then our outside world becomes right. God is calling us to put our faith right again, to live out of the fullness of God rather than always walking towards the fullness of God and one day getting there if we really try hard. But actually to do what the Bible says to do, to live out of the fullness of God. Ephesians chapter 2 says that Christ died for us so that this could happen. I mean, actually, the Bible is just full of it. Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we could live out of the fullness of God, not one day hope for it, but to actually live in it now. And prayer and fasting enables us to see what our position is in him. There's one, as I said, looking at the inspiration of the saints. For those of you who have been Christians for 10 minutes, you will have heard of this wonderful woman. But every time I think about her, I just get emotional. But Corrie ten Boom is an inspiration. And she's passed away. She's with the Lord now. But she lived in the Netherlands during Nazi occupation. And she hid and rescued Jews and saved them from the concentration camps. She saved so many lives. And then she was found out and imprisoned with her family. And while she was in the concentration camp, she smuggled in a Bible. And she led acts of worship in the pit of hell. And she encouraged people in their faith. Her sister died while she was in the concentration camp. And Corrie ten Boom was released. It turns out later on it was a clerical error that she was released. The women that she was with just after she was released were all gassed in the chambers. But God hadn't finished with her. And she came out to the Netherlands at a time of what was known as the winter of hunger, when there was a massive famine in the Netherlands, and it was still Nazi occupied, and those people who were worthless were executed. And so she hid the mentally ill. So anybody who was mentally ill was in danger of being executed. She hid them. Anything that this woman says is like gold. I just get inspired by people who live their lives like that. And she said this, and it's kind of slightly jokey thing. She said, "Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" I like that. It's good, isn't it? Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Is it something you get out in emergencies? It's hidden away somewhere in the bag. I don't quite know where. I had a car once. It was underneath the car. That's weird, isn't it? Took me ages to find that one. But do you know where your spare tire is? Do you know what condition it's in? Do you just get out in emergencies? You do. Or is it your steering wheel? God is calling us to seek after him, to turn off the cruise control, yeah, to take the steering wheel and seek him. There is no automatic pilot or driver in God's kingdom. If you're not driving the car, someone else is. If you're not driving the car, if you haven't got your hands on the steering wheel of prayer, then somebody somewhere else is influencing your life and driving your car and taking you on a journey that God doesn't want you to go on, unless you've got hold of the steering wheel. You can't manage without a steering wheel. I know they're developing driverless cars. Not in my lifetime. I'm not going to get in one of them. I tell you what, they might have driverless cars, but there will never be a driverless faith. God is calling us to get hold of the steering wheel again. Stop letting other people drive your car. Stop letting circumstances drive your car. Stop letting what other people say about you drive your car. Get hold of the steering wheel in prayer. So you can manage with all sorts of things. We've just got rid of a car where you couldn't actually lock it. Don't tell the insurance company. You couldn't actually lock the car. We've managed to get rid of that one. I've been in Bogdan's car where bits of the floor were missing. But you could still drive from A to B. You could still get to where you wanted to. I had a friend in university who for a time drove without a driver's door. It just fell off. So he'd like drive around waving at people through Southport. You can get from A to B without a door. There's probably most things you can get away with. Even Adrian's sister was driving down the motorway once and she was overtaken by a wheel. Just a wheel, it was just going down. Until she realised it was her wheel. So she pulled over quickly. So you can go a short distance with a wheel missing. But you can't go anywhere without a steering wheel. You need to have that steering wheel in front of you. I can remember once going to Morrison's to do some shopping, and I was tired in my defence. And I came back, I put the shopping in the boot of the car, got in the car, I thought, where's the steering wheel gone? And I got into the back of the car. I think, what kind of crazy person does that? So I sat there for a little while. I kind of looked around, checked nobody had seen me get in the car. And then got out, I got in the front. And then I drove off. That's how tired I get. Unless your steering wheel is in front of you. All the time. You're going nowhere or you're going the wrong place fast. So our prayer life needs to be like our steering wheel, not the spare tire. I remember leading a prayer meeting once, and I was looking around for inspiration from all these great... And do you know the greatest inspirational thing I found about prayer was in the concordance, and it says this, and I remember this to this day, and this was 30-odd years ago, whatever we think we need, all we really need is God.
Yeah.
And prayer brings us God.
Yeah.
How simple and how straightforward is that? Whatever you think you need for 2018, all you really need is God.
Yeah.
Prayer brings us God. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's heard of Martin Lloyd-Jones? Oh, he's an amazing guy. Amazing. He's dead now, but he was an amazing guy. He's worshipping with the Lord. He said this, those who know God best are the ones who speak to him most of all. Those who know God best are the ones who speak to him most of all. If somebody comes up to you and starts talking to you about me, good or bad, and they don't know me, and they've not met me, and they've not spoken to me, ignore them, okay? Will you do that favour for me? If somebody comes up to you and says, oh, that Mike Mitchell, Ormskirk Christian Fellowship, he's useless, him, or he's fantastic, him, and you say, have you had a chat with him? Oh, well, no. Ignore them, okay? If Dave Much goes up to you and says, you know that Mike, you can listen to Dave, okay? Good or bad. Because we get together. He's known me for years, up and down, all sorts. Dave's known me for years. You can listen to Dave. If Adrienne comes to you, if Adrienne comes to you and says to you anything about me, good or bad, you can believe every word of it. Because she knows me every single day. She knows me, and she's been through me, through things in my life, with me. And you know, there's something there of how we are with God, that God calls us to represent him on this earth. But if you don't talk to him, if we don't spend time with him, then the earth might as well ignore you.
Yeah, that's true.
Harsh but true. The earth might as well ignore you. But if you spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on a daily basis, if you do what Jesus himself did and get to know the Father, then the Spirit will start to cause people to listen as heaven resonates with them, as heaven in you resonates with them, as you resonate with heaven, and heaven will resonate with those around you. Those who know God best are the ones who speak to him most of all. So today is Epiphany. Well, actually, yesterday was Epiphany. Yesterday was the King's coming. And they came, the point of the King's coming was it was a time of the Gentiles coming to Bethlehem. The God saying, I am the God of the whole world. And they came and they bowed down in adoration. And they brought their gifts. But the Sunday after Epiphany is normally, in the traditional church, a celebration of the baptism of Jesus. So today is actually officially a celebration of the baptism of Jesus. And it's a time when the church looks at their own baptisms, and those people in the church here have been baptized. It's a time to recall that time when you dedicated your life to God. It's a time of rededication. And what they do in a lot of Eastern Orthodox countries is they plunge themselves into the icy cold rivers. So I thought we could go down maybe to Ormskirk Park after this, strip down to our boxes, Dave, and dive right in. Now, I don't mean that. There are some people here who's so zealous who would do that, but no. But it would wake us up, wouldn't it? And that's the point. The point is we need to wake up again to the call that God's placed on our lives, to rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ. John says, make way, prepare a way, because here comes the King of Kings. And Jesus comes and gets baptized. But the third Sunday after Epiphany, I love this one, is normally we think about, well, we don't, but the traditional church thinks about the wedding at Cana in Galilee when Jesus turned water to wine and is a symbol of transformation. Why are we calling for 21 days of prayer and fasting? Because we are calling us as a church to adoration, to rededication, to transformation. God wants us to be in a place where we are adoring him, where we are rededicating our lives and our call to him, where we are being transformed by him and bringing transformation to everybody and everything around us. I'm just going to finish with another quote. I love quotes. A guy called R.A. Torrey, not Tory as in Conservative Member of Parliament, But Torrey, T-O-R-R-E-Y, if you want to Google him, he was an American evangelist. He conducted loads of revival missions in the United Kingdom. He visited many parts of the world. And he says this, when the devil sees a man or woman who really believes in prayer, who knows how to pray, and who really does pray, and above all, when he sees a whole church on its face before God in prayer, he trembles as much as he ever did, for he knows that his day in that church or community is at an end.
Amen.
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 Bring it on. When a church gets on its face in prayer, then the devil trembles because he knows that his time in our lives, in our community, in our church is at an end. And we can begin to move into a time where we are exalting Jesus Christ in our lives through what we say and through what we do, where we can walk on water because our prayer life is so fervent, where we can have an impact on those around us and on our families and on our workplaces because our prayers are so fervently directed towards him. John 17, verse 1 is one of the most amazing prayers in the whole of the Bible. It's where Jesus prayed. And I'd encourage you during this time to read through it. But he says this, John 17, verse 1, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, that your sons and daughters may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And then to finish with Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 says this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. So the question this morning as we finish in prayer is this. Who's driving your car? Because for Corrie ten Boom, it was Jesus. And she with Jesus was moving forward. She with Jesus was doing amazing things. Who's driving your car this year? Who's got hold of the steering wheel this year? Is it you in prayer? Because prayer should be your steering wheel, not the spare tire that every now and again will get out, find out where that is. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you that you are calling us to this time of prayer and fasting. We ask, Lord God, as a church, we would draw closer to you. We shake off, Lord God, the past. We shake off all those things that hinder. We shake off the cynicism and the criticisms. We shake off, Lord God, the lack of approval or the over-approval. We shake off, Lord God, everything that the enemy wants to try and whisper to us and lie to us. We shake off everything, Lord God, that has stood in the way in 2017. We remove those barriers now for 2018. We say, Lord, as we trust in you, Emmanuel, God, who is with us, we know that we can step forward into a future where you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to enthrone you at the beginning of this year as a church. We come before you, Lord God. And we know, and we're not daft, Lord. We know that the enemy won't want us to do this. We know that when we come to that day when we say, right, today I'm going to fast, that the enemy will just put as many cupcakes in our way as he can. But Lord Jesus, we trust in you and we thank you that you're the one who strengthens us. You're the one who speaks to us. You're the one who lifts us up. It's not our strength, but it's your glory that we're seeking. So Lord Jesus, as we step into 2018, we do it with you. We get hold of the steering wheel again. We sit in the driver's seat again. We say, Lord God, we take hold of you. We take hold of you, Lord God, just as you take hold of us. We want to bring glory to your name, almighty, powerful, amazing, loving and merciful God. In Jesus' name, amen.